This week, state planners held two sharing sessions here on Oahu. It was a chance to talk about what needs to be updated to better manage our coastlines. Tonight, there'll be a meeting on Maui at the Kahului Community Center at 5:30. Tomorrow, it is Lanai, and then again next week on Kauai, Hawaii Island, and Molokai. Last week, we talked to Melanie Lander with the Hawaii Coastal Zone Management Program about the plan.
The whole point of the Ocean Resources Management Plan is to address really complex resource management problems, not only along our coastline, but also terrestrially on land, how the way that we develop and conduct our activities on land affect the health of the ocean and the near shore, and how we can address management gaps in our existing laws and rules to address some of the problems that we're experiencing both on land and in the sea.
So how old is this plan?
The plan's been around actually since 1985, so it's a really long-standing effort of the state. And there's partnerships between federal, state, and county actors that go all the way back to that time.
And so we update this plan from time to time. You folks are going to be going across the state trying to get input from the public?
We do. We update the plan periodically. It's actually in statute as a requirement to update the plan. And that's really important because it keeps it relevant and timely because, of course, conditions are dynamic and always changing. And starting next week, we're actually going to be going out to speak with communities and hear what they have to say about their priorities for coastal and ocean resource management.
Okay, and you do this Mauka to Makai.
The plan's really unique in that way because it acknowledges land-to-sea connections and the importance of the fact that the coast isn't just the line where the ocean laps up onto the sand, but that everything we do from the tops of the mountains down into our urban environments and even out the activities that we would be doing out in the water all affect the health of our interconnected ecosystems.
And then is there anything that you can share with us just about how the plan may have changed over the decades when we've had input?
Yeah, definitely. Back in 1985 when it was created, it was actually a lot more ocean focused. And it was around 2006 when we really integrated the land to sea connections element, which I think has really not only strengthened the priorities in the plan, but also the partnerships and the networks that we've been able to build around. The plan really emphasizes collaboration. It's not just implemented by the Coastal Zone Management Program, but by a coalition of partners who work together. And so all of their combined expertise is really important in the land-sea connections aspect. And now we are updating our 2013 plan. And so we're really focusing on local resource issues. Of course, climate change has become a big factor in some of the decisions that we make. And we're also looking to incorporate a lot more traditional ecological knowledge into this iteration of the plan. And so really hoping to hear from communities about the way that they utilize resources, what's important to them, and how they envision the future.
And I know there's lots of discussion about, the land uses and where people congregate more, whether it's because we have more visitors or a particular beach or area is more appealing for whatever reason. But I guess that's part of the whole picture, right? Figure out, well, maybe we need to move more activity and spread it around versus maybe concentrating it in one area.
Yeah, that's absolutely something that we could hear in these information sharing sessions. I think tourism is a concern that has been a growing rumble. You're hearing a lot about it in the media lately, particularly when it comes to tourism. I think it's a good example of how resource management issues along the coast are very complex because as much as we rely on tourism as a big facet of our local economy, and of course all of the people who live here also enjoy locally recreating on the beach and using our ocean resources, we also want to support the unique longevity of our ecosystems. And I think Hawaii is really unique in acknowledging the value of ecosystem services as well. And so trying to balance and marry those two competing interests is something that we're working on actively and really hoping to hear from the community about.
I know right now our community on the North Shore is grappling with a situation of traffic and people trying to get access down to the beaches where there are turtles and mm-hmm. That situation at Laniakea. And, and maybe you'll hear some of this when these meetings go around the state, but there is that conflict.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, there's actually a lot you could unpack just in the example of Laniakea. You have an ecosystem with its own intrinsic value. Then you have tourism and people who are spectators to the beauty of that ecosystem and the turtles who are nesting or resting there. You also have traffic and industry along the highway, and then you have local people's competing interests in just getting to and from their homes, as well as people who are visiting the island. And so you could really go on and on. To add to that, you could add in future conditions that we're anticipating and add greater uncertainty, like the condition of the road and whether rising sea levels could impact or further compound the issues that we're experiencing up there. So that's actually a great example.
Right, because you're like, where's the planning, right? And what struck me in reading these stories that we've been hearing about for the last several weeks is folks were saying, well, you know, there are turtles everywhere. There are other places that you could go see these turtles. But for some reason, the social media is driving everybody to this spot, and it's creating a problem, creating tension.
Right, right. Yeah, social media has definitely contributed both positively and negatively to the situation. For instance, you know, social media is one of the ways that we can reach out to more people to get their input on this plan. And we have an online survey that you can fill out if you're not able to come to our in-person information sharing sessions that I would definitely encourage people to check out. And so it can make us a little more nimble. But then, of course, like you mentioned, on the other hand, it can aggregate people in areas that previously maybe were more of local spots or a little bit more untouched. And it's definitely understandable that those are areas that we'll be hearing about and areas that we do want to address and we're excited to take on as challenges. And when you say it's where's the planning, it's funny because, of course, these areas were planned out, but a long time ago. And some of the decisions that were made then just don't stand up today's conditions, like the number of tourists that we have coming into the state.
And that's why we need to update this plan.
Yeah, exactly. There's the relevance with periodically updating, and we tend to update about every 5 years or so. But it's not just tourism. The conditions becoming more uncertain with our weather and
erosion.
Erosion, coastal hazards. It's a really interesting time to be an urban planner for that reason, because everything is incredibly dynamic and the pressure's on. So it's the perfect time for people to come out and let us know what they're thinking. We're going to try to go to as many spots as we can, hosting 2 meetings on Oahu and also 2 on Hawaii Island. And then we'll be visiting Kauai, Molokai, Lanai, and Maui, just to get as much data as we can. And it's all going to be qualitative. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take the input that we get from communities and actually bring it directly to our agency partners who collaborate on these issues and get their feedback. From there, we'll distill some of those management gaps that could potentially be addressed, whether it's through new legislation, research, or the provision of other information that decision makers need to tackle some of these complex problems.
Okay, so you want to find out what's the problem in your neighborhood, on your coastline, and then you'll work at the solution.
Exactly.
Okay, and the dashboard. So if people can't make these meetings, they can go online and also then track the progress and the changes to the plan.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple options for people if they can't make the in-person meeting. We have a survey on our website that they can fill out, which has some of the same questions that we'll be asking in the in-person meetings, and so they can definitely participate in that manner. And then if they want to learn more about the plan, they can visit our Ocean Resources Management Plan dashboard, which is a standalone website that tracks the progress of all of our partner agencies in implementing the plan.
And then do you have like a hotspot list? I mean, here on Oahu, it's the Laniakea hotspot, because that's happening now. Any place else on the neighbor islands that you can mention where there friction?
Well, I think we definitely have things in mind, you know, just personally from staying up to date with what's going on in the news. But the information sharing sessions is really where we're going to try to more professionally aggregate that type of information. What's coming up? What are the patterns that we're hearing from communities? And do those issues resonate statewide?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
We sat down to talk with Melanie Lander, who is a project analyst with the Hawaii Coastal Zone Management Program, last week. So again, tonight's the Maui meeting. Tomorrow there's a meeting on Lanai. And next week it is Molokai, Kauai, and 2 meetings on the Big Island. For more information on the Ocean Resources Management Plan statewide information sharing sessions, find the links on our website.